Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 577, Who's On First, recorded live on April 11th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back to another fun yet somewhat lackluster news-filled week of Halo stuff. We have a couple of things to look through as far as community updates and some tweets, file share stuff, updates to Proving Grounds, HCS, all that kind of stuff. And then we're going to try something a little bit different on the show that we haven't really done before, and it kind of is related to something that we've needing to be doing for a while, and I just haven't been not lazy enough to do it outside of the podcast, so you guys might get to see a little bit of, or I guess hear, a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff going on for Podtacular, which hopefully you'll see in the coming months. But let's go ahead and kick off with some of the updates from Halo Waypoint over the past week. Just shooting from the hip here, Halo Envoy is the latest novel. It's supposed to be coming out in 2 weeks on April 25th. You can head on over to podtacular.com/envoy. That gets you a nice little quick link to the Amazon store where you can purchase Halo Envoy for $16.99 in paperback or $11.99 on Kindle. And then there is an audiobook version through Audible as well, which you can grab, which I'm pretty sure Godzilla has probably already pre-ordered.
No, I haven't pre-ordered it yet, but I know where to find it.
Yes, you do.
It's a download. I don't think I really need to pre-order it.
True.
It's not like they're going to run out.
You don't want it like the minute it comes up and available for you to listen on the way home from work?
No, because I won't be able to download it at work because I'm not going to download it over a cell network.
Gotcha. Well, if it releases at midnight and you want it on your device as you go to work.
I listen to something else. I have podcasts to listen to. I have to listen to Podtacular so I can critique myself. And then there's also, you know, you got to keep up with Major Nelson. I mean, you just got to.
It's been a while, actually, since I've listened to Major Nelson Radio.
Yeah, missed a whole lot. It is fun to listen to him.
He has some good interviews. He actually interviews really well.
Oh yeah, their last show they did a piece on Xbox Scorpio, which by the way I am absolutely blown out of my mind with those specs.
I am too.
I cannot wait to see what they're actually going to charge for it, and determine if it's going to be in my budget. And how many meals I'm going to have to skip to pay for it.
I am looking at possibly, and kind of to your point, depending on the price point, I may get Scorpio. I've seen quite a few people on Twitter saying if it's $500, which I believe the PS4 Pro is, or something like that, then a lot of people are looking at buying Scorpio.
I think PS4 Pro is $400.
Maybe I was wrong.
Because they dropped the price of the PS4 and then started selling the PS4 Pro for the same money. So you have your entry level and then you have your upgrade.
And the original price for the PS4 was $400. So okay. Right. Well, there are some pretty nice specs on the Scorpio. If you guys haven't heard already, Microsoft invited Digital Foundry, who is pretty much the group that benchmarks hardware and is probably one of, if not the most reputable and trusted source when it comes to actually testing hardware and functionality. And they came back with some pretty substantial and, I don't know if impressive is the right word, but they were
unbelievable is what I would put it as. They give us this little tidbit last year. It's going to have 6 teraflops of compute power. Okay, that means what to anybody? But then they start talking about the specs of this machine, and you're like, okay, well, now that's what 6 teraflops means. It means that you're going to be able to run any game at max settings. And the nice thing I love about this, now don't get me wrong, the specs of the machine are absolutely beautiful, but it's the way Microsoft is implementing that hardware. Not only will Xbox Scorpio enabled games run on Scorpio, they'll run on Xbox One, but with that extra compute power that you get with that Xbox Scorpio, your standard Xbox games, Xbox One games, we'll just say Halo 5 Guardians, provided it doesn't receive a patch, will run at the extra overhead, will make the game run even smoother and faster. Shorter load times, higher quality picture, and a rock solid 60 frames per second, which Halo 5 Guardians does a pretty good job with anyway. This even rolls into back compat. Your older games, Halo Reach, it will run, now it won't run at 60 frames per second because it has to be remastered to do that, but it will run at a, it will run at a locked 30 frames per second, and the picture quality will even be better without them really touching the game, because the console will use that extra video memory or and the extra RAM to load in more of the image, so that you know, as you look further away from your character, you still get that detail. And the same thing holds true for the Xbox One games that don't, you know, receive a 4K update. You know, even at 1080p, 60 frames per second or 30 frames per second, whatever the game's set at, it's going to look better and the game's going to run faster. I like the way they're doing that. They're not only thinking of the Xbox One environment as far as the Xbox One games, they're thinking of every game that you can play on an Xbox One, whether it be a 360 title or an Xbox Scorpio title. I just think that's a really smart move.
I couldn't agree more with you. They've done some pretty impressive stuff with Scorpio. And like GT was saying earlier, I know some of the specs don't exactly scream out, okay, why is this so great? But the technical implications of having to accomplish the 6 teraflops and the bandwidth needed to properly process a 4K game is a pretty tall order for a console. And Xbox Scorpio managed to actually accomplish that. And they have 8 custom clocked cores at 2.3 gigahertz that are dedicated specifically for the games part of the operating system. And they still have an additional 4 for the OS part. Or, sorry, no, it's 4 and 4. Sorry, I'm getting the RAM mixed up. So they have 8 gigs of RAM dedicated now, and the 4 gigs of RAM for the OS, and they have 8 cores now clocked at 2.3 gigahertz instead of the 1.75, which it was before. And they have enough memory modules and bandwidth. And there's actually a detailed article on Eurogamer who reported the findings from Digital Foundry, and it goes into all the technical details on what was needed to accomplish full 4K 60 frames per second gaming. And a lot of that has to do with, because you're doing 4K gaming, a lot of the textures are a lot more detailed, and there's a lot more bandwidth that needs to get from CPU processing and RAM into GPU processing and the DDR5 memory that they're using. Which, that's also a change, because they were using DDR3 RAM on the Xbox One, and now they're using DDR5 memory on Scorpio, so that's a big change. And a lot of the stuff with the bandwidth requirements actually made it to where the Forza Tech demo that Digital Foundry was using to test the Scorpio settings was running at full 4K at 60 frames per second natively under load, and was only utilizing about 60% of the resources.
The best part of that Forza story, it only took them 2 days to port the game. That's just take their engine and make it run on Scorpio. That's not doing any modifications of any of the video settings or anything. It took them 2 days to get the game off of Xbox One where it would run on Scorpio. So, you know, Pete, these game publishers, they don't have to put a huge investment in their game just to get it to run on Scorpio. They can take that money that they would spend doing a port and really focus on increasing the graphical fidelity of their games. You know, give it that ultra setting or very high setting, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it, and get it to run that 4K 60 FPS, provided the game was already running at 60. But they can bring that resolution up, and that's just absolutely cool. Today, Digital Foundry announced that the Xbox Scorpio, or whatever they're going to call it, which honestly, I would stick with Scorpio because that is just cool, no matter what certain YouTubers say. I think it's a cool name. The Xbox One Scorpio is going to support AMD's FreeSync technology. And when it becomes a verified standard, it will also support HDMI 2.1, which that just gives you more throughput to your monitor.
Which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. So you gotta have to make sure you buy the good cables that support that stuff. So, you know, you can make sure you don't have any issues. The FreeSync technology, I do recommend you go watch their video. Digital Foundry, that is the YouTube channel's name. It was posted today, April 11th. They go into a very well done description with visuals of what FreeSync does for you. And the way they do it, it's something you can see, you know, even though you're watching it on YouTube, because that kind of stuff you can't really reproduce on YouTube just because of the compression that the video goes through. But they do use, I forget which benchmark it is, but they use a specific benchmark to show you what happens when you get screen tearing, when you get overlapping frames hitting hitting your monitor, what it looks like when it hits the monitor at, you know, the actual frame timing hits right. And I just like the way they did it, because it put to you, me, the viewer, and did a better job of explaining what FreeSync is than any other video I've seen. So I do recommend you go watch it, especially if you're considering buying the Xbox Scorpio.
And now we just wait for the price point, which is what everyone else is waiting for.
E3.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm sure that's where they're going to announce it.
You're probably right. Just to let everyone know about the whole HDMI 2.1 standard, that just came out this year, back in January. So that's fresh. That's brand new. And I don't think Scorpio is going to support this. But supposedly, HDMI 2.1 has enough bandwidth to support 10K at 120 hertz.
Yeah, Xbox Scorpio won't be able to run at that, but it's nice to have the breathing room.
Well, I'm thinking, like, as more content on YouTube or Netflix or whatever video streaming service starts to incorporate more 4K and potentially even higher frame content, like maybe 8K or whatever. Probably need a new disc format if Blu-ray is not going to be able to fit that much, but as you get more video services that may have that kind of content, then that might be something where Scorpio might not be able to play games higher than 4K 60 frames per second, but they might be able to do video apps that maybe support the 120 frames per second or 8K video.
I can see a higher resolution, like 8K, but I don't see that in a streaming situation anytime soon.
No, but it kind of future-proofs the console a little bit.
Well, I honestly think there probably is going to be another refresh of the Xbox One before that really becomes a thing. Because right now, 4K is really just catching on. Price of TVs are dropping. The one thing you do need to do is, if you plan on doing a Xbox Scorpio, do your research on televisions. Or monitors, Well, in the case of FreeSync, you will have to use a gaming monitor because there's no TVs out there that support FreeSync. But it's got me looking at maybe updating my gaming monitor if I do buy it. I may not go to a 4K screen because, you know, I play on a 21 inch monitor. 4K on a 21 inch monitor, not going to be something that I'm going to notice anything on. Just too small. Now, if I was playing on a 55 inch big screen, yeah, I'd probably notice it. But anyway, you know, I'm probably going to wind up buying a new monitor that supports the FreeSync.
I didn't even anticipate that could be a thing. I have a gaming monitor. It's a Asus 28 inch 4K. And I didn't even know DisplayPort 1.3 was even a protocol now. So maybe, I don't know. Right now, my gaming monitor is a 24 inch Asus 1080p monitor.
Yeah, I'm running a Dell 1080p monitor. It was on sale and it had a good refresh rate. So I said, okay.
Why not, right? That's a good deal.
But yeah, I like it. It works well with the Xbox One, even after I run it through 2 capture cards. You know, I still get a nice, clean, clear picture, so I'm good.
And for people that aren't really computer users or whatever, Scorpio is going to be like your to-go box for almost anything.
And, you know, I like where they're placing, where it looks like they're placing this console. They're not trying to beat computers. You know, a full-on desktop tower is going to smoke any console out there. Because consoles have to be built on a budget. You know, you can't put out a $1,500 console and expect to sell them. Because people won't buy them because they have a very limited use. But they'll dump $1,500 in a computer because not only will it play games, but it'll do everything an Xbox One does and more. You know, you can put your video editing software on there, your audio editing software. You know, you have a nice browser that you can navigate easily.
Well, you can hook up a mouse and keyboard to your Xbox and use it in the browser.
Well, yeah, you can, but
granted, you're stuck with Edge, which has its limitations.
You know, there's just some things you just don't want to use your Xbox for, and really browsing the web is not one of them that I use it for. And it's one thing to watch Netflix. The Netflix app's okay. Matter of fact, the website and the Xbox app are almost identical in the way they operate. There are some things that they've changed in there I'm not real happy about because it makes it harder to search for the content I'm looking for. But, you know, that's another point. But like I said, Microsoft is not going for the hardcore PC gamer. And, no. You know, a lot of people have been making that comparison between, oh, Microsoft's trying to get the PC gamer. No, they're not. They're trying to get that entry-level person. That guy that only wants to, you know, only has $500 to spend, but he wants to be able to play 4K games. That's the market they're looking for. Because to play 4K games on a PC, you need, I believe, at least a 1070 in NVIDIA. That's a $400 card. It might be a little less now.
I think the 980s could do 4K.
I mean, if you're buying new.
Yeah.
If you're going out to buy a new piece of equipment, you know, think about this. You buy a graphics card. Even if the prices have dropped on the NVIDIAs, you're probably still looking at $300 for a video card capable of doing 4K. You have the motherboard, the processor, the RAM, the hard disks. The case, yeah, you're looking $600 to $800, and that doesn't count keyboard, mouse, monitor, any speakers or headset. You know, that's just for the tower.
Yep.
You know, when I built my PC was I think 4 years ago now. I decided I was going to build a PC that I didn't really have to jack with for several years. The only thing I really cheaped out on was the GPU, because at the time I wasn't really gaming on my computer because Halo wasn't there. So what's the point? Well, now guess what? Halo's there now. So I had to go, I had to do an upgrade.
You've got five Halo games there.
Well, only one of them really, or two of them really need the card that I have.
True.
You know, what I'm getting around to is when I built my computer, I spent $2,000 on it. You know, I spent a sizable chunk of money on this computer. A lot more than I ever intended to. I actually spent more than that, but I'm not counting the mistakes. Processor in the wrong way. It kind of fucks up on my motherboard.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Ouch. Oh, that's painful.
That was my early problems when my computer would randomly restart. It was a motherboard. Anyway.
Ouch.
Yeah, I can't really turn that one in as a defect since I did it. I didn't even try. But anyway, my system now with the current available hardware would be almost an entry level system. You could build a system just as capable as mine for, you know, that $600 to $800, especially now that Ryzen's out, but that's a whole nother conversation. So I like where they're placing this. So I do expect it to be a $500 console.
That seems to be the median of what everyone is talking about. I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up with the bees.
I can't wait to play Halo on it.
I know, right? Get that upgraded resolution on console. It'd be fun. All right, going back since we got massively sidetracked by Scorpio and the magic that is Scorpio.
Well, it relates.
Yes, it does. It definitely does.
Not to Envoy, but sort of.
No, it definitely relates to the Halo topic. So it's a tangent, but a productive and constructive tangent nonetheless. So back to the Envoy article. Envoy is written by Tobias Buckle. Those of you who probably... Oh, thanks Arma for following us. Appreciate it. I think he's been on the stream a few times. So thanks for the follow. You guys may have heard of Tobias Buckle before. He's written a couple of other Halo stories and novels. Halo Evolution's Dirt and the Cole Protocol, and then the Oasis story from Halo Fractures. So we have a little bit of a veteran when it comes to the Halo novels. So it's going to be interesting to see that, see him come back. Just as a little note from the Q&A that the Halo Envoy article on Waypoint specifies, Oasis actually happens right before the events of Halo Envoy. So it's a look at the world of Karo and the political situation right before Halo Envoy takes place. And accompanying the book is a map that kind of outlines some of the events that you will read through the book that was drawn out by Sarah Campbell. I don't know if this is going to be available in the digital version, but I'm guessing at least comes with the physical version of the book. And you can see the map over on Waypoint. It'll probably be a nice bigger map that you can see in detail when you get the book. But it's kind of like I'm trying to think of another book, because I've had a few other books of things where I've gotten like a map that comes with it, or maybe some games. I know Skyrim came with a map, like with that game.
I think there's a lot of games that should come with maps.
That's pretty cool to add something into the Halo novel that can be referenced and can help you keep track of what's going on throughout the book. I think it's a clever idea.
Yeah, I don't think they'd like me looking at a map while I'm driving down the road.
Probably not.
Wouldn't be the first time, but you know, that was the whole before GPS thing.
Yes, I figured that's what that was what you were talking about.
Some people won't know what that is.
I had to use one of those in Iceland. I was in the passenger seat, so I was a navigator, and we were using paper maps.
Did you figure out which way was north?
Yes, that wasn't that hard.
Okay.
I do know how to read maps.
That's good.
Yes.
that's a skill that is slowly diminishing.
And I know how to drive a stick shift.
Oh my lord, you are antiquated.
A little bit.
It's pretty bad when you ask a potential parts driver, can you drive a stick? What's a stick?
A manual transmission. What's a manual? I know gas and brake.
Manuel? What is this Manuel?
I didn't know we had a driver called Manuel. Oh, hey, Laird.
Sure, why not? I like the inclusion of the map. It actually might make me order a physical copy as well, just so I can get the map.
Yay! And then hang it up on your wall as you're listening to it and you can look around. All right. In the Envoy article that's on Waypoint, Grim also throws out three new ships that are coming to Halo fleet battles. So there's the Autumn Class Heavy Cruiser, the Karak Merchant Cruiser, which is a Covenant ship. Or sorry, it's just two. There's three images. It's just two ships. So those will be coming to the tabletop game at some point. I don't see a date in here. But yeah.
I want to see a space battle with the heavy Autumn class in battle. I just want to see the ship fly is all I want.
So you should talk to the Sins of the Prophets guys and have them do their simulation.
You know, I actually ought to get a hold of them and at least see if I can get a copy of the game and play with it a little bit. It's beyond my skill, but hey, you never know.
I have it downloaded. I just haven't had a chance to actually play it yet.
Yeah, I have the latest version of SPV3 too, but I haven't installed it yet.
There's a lot of stuff that we need to catch up on, as you guys can probably tell. Moving right along to the next article that we have, the summer 2017 feedback for the HCS season, aka updates to Proving Grounds and the what will be the HCS playlist. There's a couple of things that have come out over the past couple of days, I guess past few days. An article from Unishek, or I guess a forum post from Unishek just popped up. They're going to be removing the Proving Grounds playlist tomorrow at noon Pacific time. For those listening after we record on Twitch, that is Wednesday, April 12th at noon Pacific. And then they're going to be bringing it back a couple of days later after they make some playlist tweaks as the HCS Summer Preview. Any ranks that you have in that playlist will be maintained when the new playlist comes back. And for a couple other things that they're trying to include with some of the updates, which we'll cover in a second, those will be incorporated and they'll continue to collect user feedback or player feedback as people continue to play through the playlist. Some of those changes include a lot of stuff that people have been looking for. The assault rifle is going to be removed. It'll be reintroduced into competitive play once the balance has been brought back to a level that they feel is acceptable. So one of the things that they determined is that the AR is way too reliable for someone. If someone's getting taken advantage of, depending on the situation, it's too easy to whip out the AR and win a battle that shouldn't be won. So they're taking out the assault rifle for now, and they will look to bring it back in whenever they have a chance to balance it out. Next one is the energy sword is going to be taken out because of the movement speed increase that the energy sword natively gives to anyone that is holding it. This primarily affects CTF on truth, makes flag captures a little bit too easy. So this is going to be removed during the summer 2017 season and will be reintroduced once it's been balanced out. Splinter grenade is also being removed. The team has determined that the splinter grenade should be more of a area denial tool than used to instantly kill people or enemy players without warning, so they're going to also remove that from competitive play as well. The brute plasma rifle drains shields way too effectively and too quickly, so they're also going to be removing that from the summer 2017 season as well. A lot of stuff that are being removed. Weapon timers weapon respawn timers for normal weapons. So not the power weapons like where you see the shotgun or the rocket launcher or the sniper. So like the BR, storm rifles, carbines, that kind of stuff. They are seeing that they're respawning way too quickly, so they're going to look at increasing the respawn times of those weapons. And then the motion tracker update. This is the thing where they were testing the radar to see your allies at all times, but only see enemy players whenever they were using a Spartan ability or if they were firing a unsilenced weapon. So they're going to be continuing to look at that, and they're going to keep what they introduced in the Proving Grounds, and they will continue to evaluate that throughout the season.
Yeah, the whole AR thing, that's been a deal since the beta.
Yeah, but the thing is, I see the whole justification behind removing it because it is maybe a little too effective, but I think if they can balance it out right, the AR is not a bad starting weapon.
No, it's not, but it does need some tweaks. I mean, when you see pro players dropping the pistol to pick up a power weapon and keeping the AR, I don't know.
Yeah, there are problems when that's happening.
And I'm not saying, the pistol is really good. I like the pistol. The AR, I'm not that great with it. You know, I've seen people play with it that are good with it, and it does seem a little OP in certain setups. I mean, when you can spin around after taking a couple hits from a pistol and still get the kill with the AR, it might have a kill accuracy that's a little too quick or just way too accurate. I think a little bit more bullet spread on it, especially when it's zoomed, would be good.
I think that would help a little bit. A little bit less damage, a little bit more bloom on the, I guess, not necessarily bloom, the...
Just bullet spread.
The spread, that's it, yeah. A little more bullet spread. I think you're probably finding a good sweet spot with the AR.
I think the shotgun needs a little bit more bullet spread too, but that's just me.
That isn't the first time I've heard that, actually.
You know, when it's a regular shotgun and I'm getting killed at what seems like pistol range, I think it's grouped a little too tight. Or at least submachine gun range.
Well, I do appreciate the shotgun being a little more effective than the scatter shot. If it's too effective, that's one thing, but it seems like you can kill with a shotgun a little bit further range than the scatter shot, which I think is...
Yeah, see, the scattershot, I think, has got a little too much spread. But, I just always thought, you know, I've always felt that a shotgun should be a really close-up and personal weapon. I mean, not quite melee range.
No, but if your reticle is almost being completely taken up by the enemy player, that should be a kill, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. But when, you know, I'm... 10, 15 meters away? No.
The other thing, too, is that every weapon has a zoom, and I think that zoom, because it's naturally collecting things into the reticle position, or at least I think it is, I think that's maybe detracting from the balance of the weapon a little bit. And same could be said for the AR.
Yeah. My beef with the shotgun has pretty much been there ever since Halo began. It just always seems like the shotgun range is a little further than it should be.
Could be.
Yeah, you know, that's just a personal preference. Probably because I can't use the things worth that crap. Anyway.
I really like up close and personal weapons. They make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, it's a bunch of interesting changes to that they're doing to that. My first question is, okay, are they going to have a second starting weapon? And I'm thinking, oh, don't give them all plasma pistols. Noob combos for everybody. Oh.
Well, it's always going to start out UNSC weapons for competitive.
I know.
That's not going to change.
Yeah, but, you know, the Brute plasma rifle is doing exactly what they designed it to do, and now they figure it's OP.
They just need to put the plasma rifle back in. Just leave it at that. Plasma rifle can be effective. They just need to put that back in.
They've already got the model. All they have to do is set the damage parameters and change it back to blue.
Well, no, they have the current plasma rifle in there.
No, I meant the classic plasma rifle.
They could, yeah. I don't think they're going to... I think they jump straight to the Brute plasma rifle, and I don't think they're going to put the normal classic one back in there. Oh, gosh, Larry. The Halo 4 pre-patch bolt shot. Oh, gosh, the shotgun in your back pocket.
Yeah, no.
That, I did not like that.
I did not either. I'm pretty sure I still haven't finished that combination, because I just refuse to use that damn...
Moving on.
The new bolt shot's not bad. I mean, no. It's actually usable.
343 did a very good job balancing the weapons and making them for Halo 5 Guardians. I think this is one of the best balanced weapon sets. Granted, there are some tweaks that they're going through as far as competitive play, but I think the weapon sandbox in Halo 5 Guardians is pretty good. I think the last time we've had something this balanced is probably Halo 2? Maybe Halo 3? Although I sucked at Halo 3, so I didn't really like it, but maybe Halo 2?
Well, I was good at Halo 3. I just couldn't hit shit. I just couldn't hit anything.
The whole aiming system in Halo 3 is just off to me.
Wonky.
Yeah. It feels so weird compared to every other Halo game. Anyways, I think they've done a fantastic job with balancing the weapons. I think this is probably the best yet of any Halo game.
No, do not bring back the shotgun type bolt shot. If you're not going to buy it, I'll buy a copy just to make up your sale to keep it out.
This is Eric Ibu, by the way.
Yes, I know.
Well, I'm just saying for our listening audience.
No, Laird's in there too.
Oh, I see what you mean. Boo. Boo.
Well, I mean, you know, Halo 2, you know, its original launch loadout, or, you know, the weapons in the original launch, they were kind of screwy as well. You know, they did that big update, and that changed a lot of stuff with the weapons for Halo 2.
The rocket sword lunge?
Yeah.
I got into Halo after they patched that, so I never got to experience that firsthand.
You can still do it.
Well, if I have an unpatched version of Halo 2.
You can do it in MCC.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I've seen people do it.
You can go and practice
maybe
that.
Maybe they were doing it with a BR. They might have been doing it. I don't remember. I know I've seen it recently. At least that sword lunge.
Okay.
Yeah, I was never able to perfect that particular move.
I remember back in the MLG days, you had to know how to exploit all of those little tweaks, or else you would not be able to perform on the level to beat everyone else.
Well, when you're at that level, you need to know the game better than the developer does. You need to know every advantage and disadvantage of playing the game, especially when you're getting paid to do it.
Anyways, moving on. Red vs. Blue Season 15 is out now.
Woo-hoo.
Per tradition, they release it on April 1st. Season 15. And they also have a complete unabridged story of Red vs. Blue abridged that you can go watch. That's about a 7-minute recap on everything that's gone on throughout the history of Red vs. Blue. And if you don't know, maybe you should just go and watch
it. They got it condensed to 7 minutes?
I believe so.
No, I'm amazed that they got it condensed to 7 minutes.
Yeah, 6 minutes, 25 seconds is how long the video is.
I still need to finish watching season 14. I've been slacking.
Well, season 15 is a brand new take on it. The last two seasons, I think, were kind of related. Two or three. So season 15 is a brand new thing. I think, what do they call them? Anthologies or something like that?
Sounds right, yeah.
So that was the chorus anthology was the last few ones. And now they're on to something new. 15 seasons. That's incredible.
There's not many TV shows that make it that far.
No, there are not.
Unless it's a soap opera, but hey.
Or it's Seinfeld. Well, I don't know. How many seasons did Seinfeld have?
I think they had 15.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there's there's several shows that do hit that 15 mark, but it's not as many as there are TV shows out there. And the shows that I'd really like to see hit 15 are the ones that get canceled. Firefly.
Yeah. Rip. Okay. Warzone Warlords is making its return this weekend as well. For April 14th through the 16th, you can match with parties of 6 or 12 in the playlist. And 343 will be online starting at 2 p.m. Pacific time on April 14th. So you can hop on to Warlords, and if you get matched up with them, you'll get the coveted ice skin for your pistol and AR. So hop on over during that time, and you can check out the goodness that is Warzone Warlords and get your full party of 12. I'm pretty sure Eric Boot is going to be playing that playlist probably most of the weekend.
Yeah, I found a video today. Somebody cored the 343 team 1,000 to 41.
Yeah, and that was their first game, and then they won every game after that.
I just thought it was funny.
They needed a warm-up round, I guess.
Apparently. I didn't even see how well Uni did. They showed the score in, but I don't remember what Uni's score was.
A couple of community things that has been highlighted by 343 over the past few days. The first being someone went and recreated the chief from the Halo 3 poster in Minecraft. A person by the name of Callie Kitty on Twitter, she posted a screenshot of her in Minecraft and the chief from the Halo 3 poster. And it is legit.
That's still amazing.
This thing started back before January 26th. This is crazy impressive. I'm going to, for anyone that is in the Twitch stream, I'm posting it in there, but this is amazing. The color in there looks great.
Yeah. Did an awesome job with it.
People are nuts.
This is freaking square blocks. I mean, I have to admit, you know, the people that work with Forge, they are absolutely amazing. The Forgers are absolutely amazing. But to do this in Minecraft.
Well, people have done a lot more crazy stuff in Minecraft, so this is probably tame compared to some of the more outstanding things, but still.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some absolutely outlandishly detailed pictures in Minecraft. I mean, granted, it's pixel art, but still.
It's crazy how people can do this.
I'm just giving props to people that can do that in video games. You have a very rare talent. And this is, you know, goes to the forgers, the people that build stuff in Minecraft. For one, to have the patience to do it and the vision to be able to complete something like that.
So going to Forge Creations, someone actually made the old studio, the 434 Kirkland studio, in Forge. So they have the entryway, the warehouse, they have a palm tree outside. And it's pretty accurate. I've been there, and it's a pretty decent representation of the old studio.
I can only speak for the outside. I haven't been inside.
I haven't taken a look at the map to see if they even did the inside. And then the last thing for user-created stuff that Uni tweeted out earlier is someone made Mr. Chief in Forge. The Mr. Chief head.
Mr. Chief!
So this looks like basic shapes were used, so circles and squares. And it's a pretty legit effort in making Mr. Chief. It's not exact, obviously, because it's Forge, but it's a very good rendition of Mr. Chief.
No, it's, you know, it's like the spawn point art that we used to see in Halo 3.
Yes.
Halo 3 and Reach. I don't see a whole lot of that anymore, but it's just make art with spawn points. Okay.
And it's interesting, too, because the person that made this, his gamer tag is Y. I can assume his response is, why not?
He must be on Xbox for a while then to have that particular gamer tag.
Probably.
Because generally the short gamer tags are the ones that have been there the longest.
And there's a prefab that you can go find on Waypoint as well. You can search for his gamer tag, or you can find the link in the on Unishek's Twitter. It goes to the Reddit, or he links the Wise file share, and then the Reddit post where Y puts, that sounds so weird, where he puts the link to the prefab that you can go and download.
Who's on first? Oh.
Huh?
You have no idea. It refers to Abbott and Costello, who's on first gag.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
You just have to look it up. I'd explain it to you, but we'd be here for an hour and a half.
Okay. I will go look it up after the show, which is coming to an end because we've actually hit almost an hour. I didn't think it would take us that long to get through all the stuff, but it took us that long to get through all the stuff. So with that said, giveaway time. Ding, 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 ding.
Yay, free stuff.
Yay, free stuff. Indeed. It's been a while since we gave away some free stuff. What was the last? I guess the last stuff that we gave away was some Halo Wars 2 stuff. The guides and I think a shirt and a couple other things.
Yeah, that was when you were asking for moments from Halo 2, I think, or something. Your favorite thing of Halo 2?
Something like that. And it was, I asked people to submit something in through the email. Something like that. What?
Nothing. Pens is just giving you a hand.
You didn't put the link in there, Pens.
Let me try that again. Okay.
Like you missed it. Okay.
There you go.
All right. I'll save that for later. All right. I rolled the random number generator and I landed on someone who hasn't been chatting, so I'm going to call him out and see if he is listening, but Child of Oblivion, if you are there and you want your giveaway item, which is...
Say hi.
Yes, first, say hi. And second, it is a dual mode Unicy Warthog.
Ooh.
This is the one that has the little rocket launchers on the back. Are you around, Mr. Child of Oblivion?
Oblivion? Oh, I have to give a shout out to DJ Blue PDX. Played with him on a different game over the weekend, and let's just say he's still working on his jump.
On his jump? Is this Destiny stuff, or?
Uh-huh. He's playing a Warlock, and he was having some jumping troubles.
Oh, okay. Child of Oblivion, I am guessing, is not there, because I can't even at him. So, reroll is going to land in the favor of Confal. Pens.
Oh.
Oh! That would be funny if it was Pens, but it's Confal.
Confal, you win! Yay!
Didn't I just send you something, Confal? I feel like I are you the Halo on Twitter? Is Confal the Halo on Twitter? Or is he someone else?
No, I think he...
Confal, what's your Twitter? I feel like I just gave you something. I mean, not that I'm not going to give you this, but I feel like I just gave you something. No, that's not him. All right, well, congratulations! You won yourself your dual mode Warthog.
Apparently his Twitter is Confal.
Oh, that makes sense. So, funny little story about Confal, which I'll say this and then we'll wrap up the show. I could have sworn that I added Confal as a friend on Xbox several times, but then when I go to check my friends list, he's not there. And I don't know what the heck is happening. Either I'm just completely making up the fact that I actually added him as a friend and I just added him last week for because I showed up late for Fracking Fridays and I was trying to get on until my computer decided to have a fit. Or I've added him and something has happened. So, Confal, have you gotten multiple friend requests from me? Or am I just being crazy and insane?
Well, you don't actually get a friend request anymore. You just get a notification that somebody's following you.
That's what I mean. Ha ha, Laird. Very funny.
I've had trouble with some people. I'll add them as a friend, and then it's not for it's not like till the next day or the next time I restart or start up my Xbox that they actually show up in my friends list.
That's weird. Do I show up as a friend for you now, Confo? Because I'm curious. I'm just curious. Anyways, as he's answering that, make sure you order your loot crate. That's the sale for that is up in 4 days. Actually, as of recording this, at the current time, it's 4 days, 1 hour, and 30 minutes. So you have until midnight, technically, on the 16th, 11:59 Saturday Eastern Time, to order the latest crate, which is the Great Schism. And you can head on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular and then use the promo code podtacular at checkout to get $3 off your crate. So go do it. You got 4 days left as of listening to this. And by the time I get this out on iTunes, you'll have probably 2 days left. Because this will probably be out on Thursday. Confal, if you can just DM me your address on Twitter, I can get the Mega Bloks sent out this weekend. So thanks. And remember, check out Halo Envoy. Pre-order that if you're interested to get the hard copy or the audiobook. Or if you're like GT and getting digital, you can just wait until the day it comes out. You can head on over to podtacular.com/envoy, and that will link you kind of like as a short link to the listing page on Amazon where you can purchase the book. You can also check us out on the podcast network. We are part of a group of gaming podcasts, which includes Critzcast, Guardian Radio, The Learning Cliff, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. And I think, because I've seen some feed stuff lately, I need to check this, but it looks like they possibly have a Minecraft podcast?
Well, if Minecraft's your thing.
Oh, it's under How to Murder Time, so it's Minecraft Sky Factory. I'm guessing it's like a series underneath the How to Murder Time podcast umbrella.
Ah.
So check it out. And then Podcast 76 isn't technically listed there, but it's underneath the branch of the podcast network because it was some guys from Critzcast that spun off and did a Overwatch podcast. So that's kind of unofficially affiliated. But you can head on over to thepodcast.com to find the podcast over there and let them know that we sent you. You can also check us out on our social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. If we have it, podtacular.com/whatever it is will take you there. So unlike what we said earlier, we're not going to delve into some of the behind the scenes Podtacular stuff. Maybe next week, maybe in a couple weeks. There's a couple of interviews I want to get lined up to have featured on the show. Depending on when I get those may dictate where our schedule lies for the next couple of weeks. But hopefully you guys will be able to see some new stuff coming once I actually get the time and unlaziness to get with GT outside the podcast to discuss it with him. But you can expect some changes coming to the podcast here probably in the next couple of months. But until that time, we will still be here on Twitch Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're also here on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, where Godzilla T hosts our Fraggin' Fridays night. And depending on the crowd that we get, we probably will do Warlords. Probably not.
Yeah, no. I pretty much can guarantee that is not going
to
happen.
I don't know. Maybe you can convince Ericibu to drag some of High Spiteful friends over and you can do like a joint Warlords game.
Possibly. But I think they're asleep by the time I start playing. Because that's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Fair enough.
But Ericibu is welcome to come join.
Ericibu is like, what?
I heard my name.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Anyways, 577. We're getting close to 600.
Getting there.
We're a little behind the curve on making the 600 probably by the time July rolls around. We're behind a little bit on that, but we're definitely working our way towards it. only another 22 podcasts after that to get to 600. Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
The only two podcasts that I'm aware of that have that many episodes are Gamertag Radio. And is Major Nelson Radio past us yet?
Oh, yeah.
No, they've been past us. That's right, because they started just
before.
Yeah,
they've been past us for a while.
Yeah, those are the only two podcasts that I'm currently aware of that have more episodes than us. It's a pretty spectacular achievement. Oh,
and if you are looking for some custom game content, I would check out Forge Labs on YouTube. Their latest video features Spartan Run, and it's a race game type. No vehicles, but the Spartans run really, really fast.
I saw a tweet about that. It looks fun.
It looks like a fun game.
That sounds like something for Frackin' Fridays. And I'm going to give a quick shout out to Confal, who just subscribed to us on Twitch. Thank you, Confal, for contributing to Patacular. I think you are one of four subscribers now. Maybe three. Not sure. I have to go back and check. Woo-hoo! Oh, he's a resubscribe. Sorry. Subscribed 4 months in a row. So thank you. Thank you, Confal. That'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will be back next week at the same bat place, same bat time. Is there a Halo equivalent to that saying? Same frag place, same frag time?
No, it doesn't work the same, okay. But I guess I you could use that. I bet you can't stick it.
Doesn't exactly work with the whole same time, same place thing.
I know.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Spawn Fraggin' Trucks.